Hello, everyone. It's Jerome Parker on this second episode of the Code Life podcast. I am here at AfroTech 2019 in Oakland, California, and I am with the lovely Angela Smith, a mental health therapist and entrepreneur who is going to be talking about her segue and integration with tech. So, Angela, how are you doing?
I'm hungry right now, but other than that, I'm doing great and glad to be here.
Good, good. I'm also very hungry. I haven't eaten all day.
Ooh, what are we going to eat for dinner?
What do you want?
Ooh, maybe... that's a hard question. Maybe some Thai food?
That actually sounds fire.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like with just a little bit of spice? Ooh, we can use technology and we can look up where's good Thai food.
Yelp. So, thank you for coming. Why don't you give everyone a little background about, you know, what you do and where you're heading?
Sure. I am a licensed clinical social worker from Southern California. I am back in, this feels kind of home and familiar. I went to San Francisco State for graduate school. So for the last about 10 years, I've been working in a mental health capacity in education and community mental health. I was a mental health service provider field-based, so I would drive around and see my clients at their homes or at the park or in juvenile hall or in their school, wherever they kind of needed. It was field-based. I did that for several years, and then I went and worked for the school district in special education, and I was part of students' individualized education programs with the school district. This month actually is my 1 year anniversary of giving my letter of resignation, which was very exciting. So January started a very new year and new journey into entrepreneurship. I kind of had this life, it was a slow progression, but just a life realization that I want to do what I want to do with my time as much as I can. And I want to do the things that I'm good at for reasons why I want to do the things that I'm good at for people who I want to serve. So I have this year has looked very, very different. I had grand, amazing, beautiful plans to build a business in 6 months with $10,000 to live on and build a business with. And it came to be May and we did not build a business yet and we did not make, we did not have a generating revenue vehicle. So I've given myself a lot more grace in this space of being like, okay, I'm in the right place and it will take a little bit more than my naive 6 months projection to kind of figure out where I sit. But I definitely want to be at the intersection of where my skills, my talents, my passions, where that meets the world's greatest need. So that has served me and the world in the forms of a therapist. And now it is kind of transitioning into the entrepreneurial and business realm. And that kind of is the segue into tech and being, although tech is absolutely not my industry of origin, it is something, do we want to pause it?
Okay. So where do you see the intersection with mental health and tech?
I think that everything intersects with tech because tech is everywhere. And if it's not everywhere, it will be. I think it's in ways that we're not even thinking, and that's just growing at a crazy exponential rate. So I am very drawn to the macro aspects of mental health. So somebody can seek out individual treatment with a therapist, right? That's the kind of work that I did, like a one-on-one exchange. I am drawn more to the systems work of how do we make wellness and emotional wellness specifically more accessible to all. And I think tech is hugely related in that. I mean, it's something I don't know what, outside of like our basic needs of food and air and water and housing, our phones are a very close second to those basic needs of something that everyone interacts with every day. Even people who don't have homes have phones.
Exactly.
So they are a huge access point. So in my macro thinking, I want to integrate mental health where it just becomes a part of what we do, just like Yelp is a part of what we do when we look for a place to eat. So I kind of want to do, just integrate mental health into our everyday aspects and ways that we live. And help companies and businesses and individuals kind of demystify what is mental health and find new ways to bring wellness into spaces that already exist.
Okay. So where do you see the biggest impact with tech and mental health? Or where do you see maybe the
biggest potential
first priority?
I know for me, I am drawn to startup spaces, and I am drawn to the mental health of people who are making things that touch the world. So if you are a founder of something that you ideally, when makers are creating, creators are creating things, if you're making an app or if you're making a program or if you're an entrepreneur, you're having a business or a service or a product, like you're making things that you are so attached to and that you want to put out in the world for whatever reason. I'm very interested and invested in the wellness of what that individual looks like and the wellness of what they're building. So what's an example of like a new business that you are interested in or like something that's new in the tech space? Like just for example.
Me particularly?
Sure.
Whatever,
like I don't.
IoT, like birds and limes and scooter, you know, IoT of that
service.
Bikes and scooters and stuff like that. Yeah.
So my mind would be, is there a way in those apps ideally they're gonna be used by everyone. So as a producer, I want the more people touch my product, the more money I make, right? And I would guess that people who are doing lifts and birds or doing the scooters are also trying to cut back on like environmental impact and on traffic. Like, there's all of these good things. Is there a way to incorporate wellness into that app? So what if there was a message that popped up and said, hey, do 30 seconds of deep breathing? Like, what if we looked at what the color scheme is? What if there was a way to have aspects of wellness be integrated into that platform itself? So that somebody's not like, oh, people go see their mental health therapist. That's great, wonderful. I'm not like knocking that field or that point of entry, but it's not a point of entry for everyone. Mm. So I'm like, my macro mind and wanting mental health to be accessible to everyone and to kind of shift how we view it. Like we don't, that's a good example. Like when you, we go to the dentist. How many times a year are we told that we're supposed to go to the dentist?
One to two times.
Like ideally if people have insurance or whatever, that's like a fairly typical thing that people do ideally before there's a problem. Mm-hmm. You go for prevention, you go to the dentist or you go to your doctor for the yearly exam. I want that to also be the model of mental health where we are not falling off once we are losing it.
Proactive
and almost lost our lives. Right.
Yeah,
proactive in ways that you're not even having to decide as a consumer.
Yeah. So what you said brings me to something I was going to ask you. So like, for example, one thing that as much anti-Apple as I am, I really liked how like they incorporated like the whole screen time thing into the operating system.
Yeah.
And, it's been proven, lots of screen time is bad, negative effects on your cognitive, health. So that brings to the point of like automation.
Yeah.
And how to decide like what to automate. What points you're automating, what task, and like while also still having a degree of freedom too, because you don't want to force people, because then you get like a placebo effect,
in a sense. Right.
So, in your ideal world, you have, I don't know, your phone, you have something that is doing like proactive checks. So let's say you have a biometrics thing, it's checking stuff like your heartbeat, stuff like that.
Sure.
Like you said, it would tell you, take 30 seconds and breathe or go for a walk and stuff like that. How effective do you think that would, when stuff like that is first introduced, you'll see like a spike in people using it and then they just kind of get used to it and not use it? And how do you think you go about preventing that from happening? Because I think a lot of like novelty happens and then people like, they I use it for like a month or whatever.
Sure,
then
sure.
they'll not. And so like how
could you prevent like the fallout?
Yeah.
In my ideal world and mind, I had a couple things. One, there's a way of thinking where it would be part of the operating system, where it's not a choice that I'm like using the pro mental health model or aspect or version. It's just incorporated into the processing. Were you did you go to the session this morning? I forget what it was called, but they did at several different times. They had us do affirmations where we said out loud. I think we said, I'm a good marketer, or I'm a great marketer. That is a great example of an integration of something that like, you had a choice to like say it or to not say it. Pretty much the whole room said it, but that was a like positive affirmations and positive self-talk is absolutely a form of mental health wellness. Absolutely. We tell ourselves negative stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So I try to make it a point to tell myself positive things all the time when I can and when I'm thinking of it, because I know for sure those negative voices are going to come in. So in the aspect of like the novelty wearing off, if it was part of the operating system where there is a wellness component that's just kind of secretly embedded in there and it would always be changing. Maybe it's a mental, not a mental health fact, but maybe it's like, did you know the purpose behind deep breathing and what happens on a scientific neurological level when you slow down and you take 30 seconds of deep breaths? That has physiological changes and hormone releases that literally lower our cortisol levels. Mm-hmm. And cortisol is where we carry our stress. So like there's so much science and data there's so much science and data that's telling us what we need to do to be well, but there's not an application of the need to be well from a global or systematic standpoint. Mm. It's still people's choice of like, yes, I'm going to get up and I'm gonna get the mental health app, or I'm gonna go to therapy, or I'm gonna choose the product maker that has a social good, or that is, you know, that accompanies a positive experience. You've been to Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
Okay, Trader Joe's is like a culture where it's a fairly pot, like the packaging is fun, the people are nice. There's like a general experience that is much different than if you go to a different grocery store. So that type of mindset, not that Trader Joe's is the example for like emotional wellness. But they have established themselves as a brand that has these different components. So that is my idea in thinking of like the big picture. Okay, so tech is everywhere. How can we infuse pieces of mental health to be in the operating system, or to be in the storefront, or to be part of the conference that's put on, where it becomes less about the individual's choice to care for themselves, because people make that choice and that's great. And sometimes it's accessible for people to choose to prioritize themselves. Oftentimes we don't. Like, we're talking about being hungry because we probably haven't eaten. I ate like half a meal today.
I don't even think I ate anything.
That's horrible. That's horrible for us. That's horrible for our psychological wellness, for our physical wellness, for being at a place where we're trying to consume all this information on empty stomachs and hungry brains. Like, that's, you know, but we would have to make a choice to leave this place and go get food, right? If there was an infusion of food into the conference where maybe there are food, and this is in a dream world of money's not a factor, But there's an infusion where it becomes less about my personal choice to take care of my physiological needs to eat, and more about I'm just going to show up and do what's on the agenda. Oh, the agenda, society is taking care of me. I'm not thinking of showing up and trying to work really hard to be well. I'm just showing up, and it's like, oh yeah, this was an experience where I ate, I said some positive things about myself, I learned something new, I had an emotional connection, I learned a new way to handle stress. So I think those type of outcomes are absolutely possible if we use tech as a mechanism to deliver that information. The model is different. It's kind of like a first to market, and that's where my brain is like, I'm how do I use my creativity and my ingenuity and my mental health training and background to bring wellness to the most amount of people in ways where people are not choosing, where it's just there. Because I don't think that people would choose to not be well.
Yeah. So, I can't help but think of like the dystopian aspect of this. So I'm assuming you're, you know, like these kinds of technology are doing, you know, data aggregation. and you know, stuff, probably stuff like sentiment analysis, mm-hmm. and other things to do, like proactive, you know, decisions.
Sure.
So how do you prevent, you know, that data from being used against that person? For example, let's say an insurance company gets all that data. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, based on this data, we think you're predisposed to suicide. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to insure you. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give you a life insurance policy. And, but you may not, you know, you may have had suicidal ideation, but you wouldn't actually kill yourself.
Sure.
And your data is being used against you. So how do you ideally deal with that?
If that becomes a problem, I think it's a problem that we can solve and that we can deal with. Like, we need to start by having people in the conversation who are trying to, like, to push this. If there was a way to take that information, so let's say that there's some type of assessment and that's the data that comes out is this person is not well. Well, then we, whoever we is, maybe it's the company, maybe it's society, maybe it's a state law or policy, maybe it's where you live in your housing unit, maybe it's your mom, like whoever it comes from, we then know exactly what to pinpoint to take care of you. So that data can be used in a way that's like, no, we're keeping you out. Or it's, oh my gosh, I literally have the exact steps of what we need to do to help you be well. And now we can partnership with that. The we being, if it's your family, if it's your house, if it's whatever it is, but just as the data can be used negatively, which I think that's the piece that I kind of forget about because I'm coming from community and education and these things that are not money driven fields to now be in this place where it's like, it's about the numbers and it's about the money and it's like, not even, it's about the wellness. We don't even care if you're well because we're going to get paid.
Exactly.
So, okay, all right, let's keep money as a priority because people are hungry. Cool, I'm not trying to sell people off not making money. Let's make money. What if there was a way to make money and to have people be well? Might you be interested in that? And then you're the company that's promoting wellness and your excellent product or service that you're delivering? And you're addressing these needs, everybody's gonna, that's gonna make you more money, right? Exactly. That's a win-win. So I think that we can do a lot more work bringing mental health and wellness and using the vehicle of tech to want to make people more money. Fine, if you're a money-hungry shark and that's the only thing you wanna do, I can sell you this. Because you're gonna make more money by helping people be more well, because people wanna be well. You're just creating that as a means that in a way that you haven't thought of. And I think it's not being thought of because I think people like me are not at the decision-making tables. People like me are running therapy practices and we're treating people on the ground level and people who are in tech or who are venture capitalists or who are in business, like people who are making these machines and these vehicles are usually pretty far away from the touchy-feely, emotional, social caring, mental health aspect.
Yeah.
I would also say that's true for the individuals who are in the tech industry. So people aren't thinking about these things because that's just not the type of brain that's attracted to these fields.
Yeah, and they may not, you know, they might be dealing with the issues that they're writing the software to solve.
Sure, so, yeah.
Yeah,
and if you're writing software to make money, to appeal to the most amount of people, then you need to have the most diverse body at your decision table to tell you the pieces that you're missing. If I'm not thinking about how does somebody who's struggling with mental health access my app, access my service, my product, then I've missed how many people struggle with mental health in our country? I've missed a whole huge population. That then you are not making the amount of money that you could be, and you're not using your vehicle for goodness, which you also could be, in helping to serve and to heal and to whatever. So my values stem from a wholeness and a wellness, and we need to take care of ourselves, and in doing so, then we can care well for other people. So I still have my touchy-feely. Now I'm over here like, oh, I can also make money doing that? Cool, bet. And we can have people come together and yes, you can have your money, but people are becoming more well through a way that never has been done before and you make more money for it? Like, that's a It's like a fortune cookie. Yeah. Like, you get to eat the cookie and you get a cool fortune?
Yeah.
But we're in here.
Well, that is very exciting. I love what you're, you know, what you're doing. And I think it's very important, especially, you know, in the Black population.
Yeah.
We're not taking mental health
serious
enough. How can everybody reach you? You know, social media?
Yes, I am on social media, Miss_Angie_Hope. Sorry, that's Miss_Angie_Hope. And my email address is ahopehere@ahopesmith.com. A little plug. My name is Angela Hope Smith. Angela means a messenger of God. Hope is something that you desire for the future. And Smith is someone who is a skilled creator using a specific substance, like a locksmith or a wordsmith, or in my name and nature, a Hope Smith. Okay. So that is the name of my business and my brand. I am a creator and conveyor of hope. So you can reach me at ahopehere@ahopesmith.com.
Cool. And I will put all of these links in the show notes. So this is another episode of Code Life, and I will talk to everyone next week. Thank you again, Angela, for coming.
So glad to be here. Let's go get some Thai food.
Yeah.